Well, where did that go? Doggone those musicians. We got to fix that. I know there's more to it than that. All right, it's time, once again, we get to do this a couple times a month, to kind of get a blanket and curl up around the campfire. What was that? An old joke about campfires. I can't remember it. I'll try and pull it together here. Gordon Duff is back tonight. And Gordy, of course, is the driving force. Interesting expression. For Veterans Today, VT, as it is lovingly known. And he always has much to say about many things. We'll find out tonight what he has to say about Syria, because he's been writing about that. Very provocative. I'm curious to see what he's going to say about how the Obama regime has handled this entire, it's a debacle so far as I can tell. I mean, the Russians send a delegation over here to talk to Congress. They get rudely slapped in the face, basically, and told, go home. You've seen the juxtapositions, you've seen the reversals, you've seen the head fakes, you've seen it all. And I think the American people are actually embarrassed, among other things, by the performance of this administration. Don't breathe in the phone like that. All right, Gordon, welcome back to the program, and let's have it.
Well, I'm probably going to get not just breathe in the phone. I'm in my second week of a cold.
Oh, so that I'm thing is not gone? Oh, geez.
No, I mean, this was my trip to Disney World. I went to get an autographed photograph with Mickey Mouse. Was surrounded by children who probably had SARS or bird flu or whatever, and they passed it on to me. So I expect I'm going to be probably under the dirt another day or two.
No. You're going to make it back. Don't worry. SARS or bird flu, I don't think so. MERS is the worst one. That's bad. But you sound much better, seriously, than you did before.
Well, Syria is, you may or may not be aware, but VT and its crew and Adamus Corporation, which is partnered with key financial entities in the Middle East, was directly involved in the negotiations over Syria. We to some extent, took an active position in policy. Now, the first thing I have to bring out, there's a hundred ways to look at this, and a number of things that there are a lot of lessons. The key thing is that we learn all of the lessons that since we've paid for it here with what's gone on. The first thing, which would be bringing out your point, is that Obama demonstrated that he's a clown. We already knew that John McCain was working directly with Al-Qaeda. That was a bad enough problem. We pretty much knew that Obama was always over his head foreign policy-wise. Now, I would advocate, however, that people put this in a context. If this were the last president, we would have nuked Syria 6 months ago.
No, that's the truth. You're right.
Based on something picked out of a comic book.
Exactly.
So, and have 5,000, 10,000 dead Americans. Instead, we look like total douchebags. Now, is that better? That's the question here. But we do look like total fools. The issues are funny on this to this extent. Well, we tracked the sarin gas. And this is, Adamus has intelligence crews in Turkey and Hatay province. We have people in Georgia and Bulgaria. We found that the sarin gas had been produced in Georgia, had been moved through Turkey.
Okay.
And this wasn't the first time it was done.
All right.
It was brought in by three former Ukrainian intelligence agents. I have their passports. The organization operating that identified itself to them as the Central Intelligence Agency, operating the safe houses in Hatay and operating the border crossing And we're saying bribing the Turkish officials there was Google Corporation's Google Ideas Group.
So you've got Google involved in this again. I've seen one story on that, and I think you mentioned part of it.
Oh, yeah. I had this discussion yesterday with NBC. They've tripped over them there also. And what's been embarrassing for me to some extent is that I'm getting calls from NBC. I did a half hour with ABC. Say, are you sure you're calling the right person here? You know, they don't seem to care anymore. As long as they don't look like total idiots.
Isn't that you just summed it up pretty well. They really don't care as long as they look like they're doing their job somehow.
Well, what they want to be is they want to be Jeff Rentz, and they can't be Jeff Rentz. They didn't put in the time. They didn't pay the bills. They haven't been there. They haven't been listening.
They're really not journalists, and they really aren't able to assimilate what's going on in the world and come up with any logical, honest, unfettered, shall we say, conclusions and analyses to present to the public so the public can think and do their own thing.
Now, other than usual rambling, because this is late in the evening for me anyway. I've had a long, Syria has been a long and tiring ordeal for those of us who work within the region. But last night, NBC called me about a former member of the American Armed Forces, Eric Haroon, who had been arrested about a year ago. He had been fighting with what he had believed to be the Free Syrian Army and is awaiting trial on charges of discharging WMDs. And that means typically, you know, firing rocket-propelled grenades while outside the United States. And they want to put him in prison for 35 years. That's what we were told. NBC, and I have an agreement not to let all of their story out, but NBC's story, if they have the guts to follow this through, is that Mr. Haroon was working for people who represented themselves to be the CIA, found that they were knowingly supplying weapons to Al-Qaeda, went to the FBI to become an informant, and was arrested and charged with a bizarre ancillary very isolated charge, mm-hmm. you know, discharging an explosive device.
Mm-hmm.
One, a charge that was specifically designed to make sure that his testimony about the coalition between the CIA, al-Nusra, and al-Qaeda could never be brought out in a trial. Mm-hmm. And NBC, you know, they've decided they're trying to go forward. Of course, now this information, which a year ago was a big secret, 200 members of Congress have this now. Everybody's using the term false flag.
It's become it's the new buzz term that people love to throw around. Yep.
Yeah, they're trying to borrow thunder from us.
They are.
What has come out, it's been rather strange, as this has moved along, it's become obvious that this has been a move against the Obama administration. Within the White House, Susan Rice and others who have proven themselves to be inept, ignorant, and incompetent beyond human imagination have managed to seize the attention of a president that, you know, I'd like to think that all these things that he says when he goes on TV and he pretends that, yes, this the World Trade Center magically dissolved, all of these things that we know are false flag attacks, that, no, there's a secret imaginary society that's running around trying to steal our freedoms, that he apparently believes. This is what's frightening so many of us now, because, you know, I'm as big an Obama supporter as you'll find.
Let's keep that between us. All right. Well, let's keep that between us. Hey, what did you say? He is as stupid as he seems?
You know, I had a moment here during this week when I actually sat for a second and thought, what would Mitt Romney have done?
Uh-oh.
And then I shuddered, of course.
Wow. Yeah.
And then after that, I began to, you know, I went on the path that you and I so often do, that why have we allowed ourselves to be browbeaten, we as a people, saying that you and I are among the people in this country, and frankly, you and I are not. We're not part of the people. We are the intellectual elite in this country. God help us. It's true. But
well, they had a guillotine for those people in France at one point.
Hey, and if Paul Pot got a hold of us, we'd be wearing a plastic baggie.
Long ago. Hold on, Gordon, will you please? We have to do a little business. We'll come right back with Mr. Duff of Veterans Today, VT, in just a couple minutes. Okay, back with Uncle Gordy, and he has been an Obama supporter. I don't know that if he's talking about Obama the man, Obama the alleged president, Obama the felon, or Obama the... Well, I'll stop there. Or if he's talking about the general administration and its thrust on the international stage of diplomacy and other strange and bizarre behaviors. But in any event, he is leading in that direction. So it's very interesting and instructive to hear him talk about this in a critically important and evaluative fashion. Proceed,
well,
Maestro.
I've carried a considerable amount of water for the president.
Excuse me? You've been his water boy?
I've been his water boy.
I see.
And when it was down to listening, and in this case, you know, we're in a position at VT where... And this wasn't the case 2 years ago, but we get regular briefings from intelligence agencies. We're the only news source that the intelligence, and I'm not saying that they tell us the truth, but they at least give us enough interesting lies that we can glean information. But we're called on with some regularity, and we've received a fair amount of it. We've become, to the people within the military and intelligence services, we've become mainstream. And the ideas that we have, and during this last week, Franklin Lamb and I got to the point where we were on the same basic wavelength as far as advocating that members of former members of the American military travel to Syria and act as human shields. Now, Ken O'Keefe had actually done this in Iraq, and has suffered tremendously because of his would-be treason.
Yeah.
Well, let
me
tell you, if there were more people back then in 2003, like Ken O'Keefe, 5,000 dead Americans would be alive. We would have trillions of dollars we don't have. We would have 300,000 disabled veterans would not be disabled veterans. This would be an entirely different case. O'Keefe was a hero, and I've watched him attacked for this. And the idea of even me getting on a plane, going to Damascus, and standing in front of somewhere and daring him to shoot at me, I'm sorry, I'm at a point where I'll actually do it. And what am I trying to protect?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to protect the United States from self-destructing. I can't take this anymore. It's way too much. Now, you know, I'm always a critic of the the Israeli lobby. You know what I found rather strange? Is that the Israeli lobby has strongly backed those people in Congress that have been opposing military action in Syria. At the same time, they've been strongly backing those people advocating military action in Syria. When you look at Rush Limbaugh, for years this man has been calling for attacks on Syria. And now, of course, he's the cheerleader because he got his talking points. This is chaos theory, game theory warfare, where every side is on every other side at the same time. It doesn't matter what happens in Syria. It only matters that the credibility of the United States is destroyed. That's happened. Now, the save on this is if we can all go dull in the eyes all around the world, and we can take this magic John Kerry. Well, what if they gave their weapons up? There's this possibility that we could talk our way back to our level of ignorance and mediocrity. But all just didn't happen in a vacuum.
No. I got to ask you before you get off. You just mentioned Kerry. I watched him give a speech, a statement, a few minutes. The man acts drugged or drunk or both. Something's wrong with him. What is your impression of Kerry's performance so far?
Well, if you've read the things, I had figured that his frozen look, he's either been replaced by a reptilian android or they've given him so much Botox that it's actually frozen his frontal lobes.
Well, he's had clearly cosmetic surgery, but that's all right. So what? Big deal. There's something wrong with the man, though. Something wrong with his disposition, his demeanor, his cadence, his speech. The words he is choosing to use are not what they could be. They're not statesmanlike. There's something wrong with the guy. I'm telling you, and it may be antidepressants.
I just don't care that I've been caught lying over and over and over? That
correct.
One?
Yeah, that one. Sure, yeah. That's good for openers. There's something wrong with this guy.
The utter lack of, no charm, no personality, the dead eyes of a shark.
Absolute arrogance. Total arrogance. He could give a crap what we think. They just lies.
And the mainstream news, of course, is peddling that as his loyalty to the commander in chief.
Right.
Do you remember the incident in front of Congress last week when he tried calling on General Dempsey to back up his position? And Dempsey said,
"Tell us, this is funny."
Dempsey simply turned to him. I have no comments to make, sir, at this time.
Yeah, good. Bravo, Dempsey. Pretty funny stuff. No, there's something wrong with the guy. I don't know what it is, but you're right. He does look a little bit more like the Frankenstein monster all the time, with Botox, and speaks probably on about the same level, if we could equate the two somehow. It's pretty grim stuff.
During the week, we've had a couple of unusual things happen, and I don't want to necessarily run over to some of the things that your personal arch nemesis, whose name will not be mentioned. But
I have no arch nemesis. I've been liberated from that, Gordon. I live in a much more enlightened environment now, on a metaphysical, spiritual, paranormal level. I am no longer enchained to the vagaries of humankind. I have vindicated myself and freed myself. Cut away that comet's tail of grief, anguish, and woe, and I am flying free through the cosmos.
I was wondering about that.
I thought you might be. We'll be right back with Gordon Duff in just a couple minutes. Okay, I'm back with Gordon Duff. Okay, GD.
We've had a few bizarre things happen militarily, without mentioning things that...
you actually sound others... younger with a cold. Maybe SARS has an upside after all. All right, go ahead.
The U.S. misplaced two wings of B-2 bombers. One was moved to South Carolina. The other one is outside the United States somewhere. We do not know where it is. It could be at...
how many bombers in a wing?
If they're all working, 16.
Okay.
And
when did this movement occur?
About 2 weeks ago.
Right.
They've got and
did they stop by Barksdale on their way to their eventual destination to pick up some nuclear refreshments?
A B-2 doesn't need to do this. Now, in the process, the United States relocated 2,000 nuclear weapons to North Carolina to an old submarine facility. Now, these weapons were put in what had been the storage facility for our Trident missiles. The storage facility did have the ability of arming bombers when it had a rail system in place that served the nuclear bunkers. That rail system was sold for scrap 5 years ago. We have 2,000 nukes in non-deployable cold storage that were taken from a number of commands. We don't know the reason, but this is extremely irregular. Not just where they were moved without following any of the normal procedures. No one signed for them. They were moved, 2,000 American nuclear weapons were moved without consulting chain of command. 2,000, not five or six, 2,000.
Where did you get this data, Gordon? Where'd the data come from? I don't want any names.
Pilots of the Strategic Air Command told me.
Okay. All right. So 2,000 picked up. How many made it to their ultimate unknown destination? 1,850, which leaves a shortfall of 150 nuclear weapons.
We don't know. Mm-hmm. We also know that the carrier Nimitz, which is considered just about a stage above scrap, you know, it's the oldest of its class.
Yeah,
was put in the Persian Gulf at a time when the U.S. knew it was going to be attacking Syria,
right?
And that there was a considerable likelihood that Iran was going to be forced to respond, and that the Nimitz was going to be sunk.
Well, that was the same scenario that the Enterprise faced earlier.
Yes. Exactly the same scenario. The U.S., when they put forces into the Mediterranean, they only put four guided missile frigates. Now, these frigates carry Tomahawk cruise missiles. We've added since five destroyers with Aegis capability. But... the Tomahawk cruise missile essentially travels between 500 and 600 miles an hour. It's relatively maneuverable. However, the standard air defenses inside Syria, and including the... there's a missile, it's not part of the SAM-3 system, but it's called the Buck, B-U-C.
Okay.
The variant they use in Syria was designed specifically to shoot down cruise missiles. The Syrians would have... there's no way we could stand off and shoot cruise missiles at them. It's not a possibility because...
yeah, don't you think Vladimir made that quite clear through back channels to various people? I mean, Dempsey would be the first to know.
Their Yaound 9 P-900 anti-ship missiles.
It's the P-800.
P-800?
Yep. The Akant P-800... is the world's premier anti-ship missile, which can also be turned into a a ground-to-ground missile if they want to, but it's hypersonic, right above the old water line, as they say. And if it has
2.5.
That's right. If it has the range, if the American Navy decides to send a sacrificial lamb in, the Yukon P-800 will take it out.
Beyond this, we had, remember the Russians had detected two launches within the Mediterranean.
Yeah,
within
that was an interesting little gambit. Tell us more about that.
Well, an Israeli submarine had fired a cruise missile into Syria.
To track Syria's radar, obviously.
Yeah. But not just that. It was a cruise missile that would have been aimed for, let's say, a high embarrassment target. It would have hit a mosque, a hospital, a school, or an attempt to kill Assad.
Who would they blame for this cruise missile?
That would have been blamed on the United States.
Okay.
Now, we have a couple explanations for how that was shot down. That one of the Aegis destroyers that we had on station did this, and that was, of course, out of the EU Times from a source you and I typically would never pay attention to, Sorshafal, which means if you're hearing a story from someone that's lied over and over and over, there's always that chance that this could be that rare time that
they're
using their lack of credibility to destroy a true story.
See, that's the fun in games when you deal with, first of all, there is no source of all, but that's neither here nor there.
Yes.
But sooner or later, these disinformation gurus will let slip some reasonable information. It's rather like the tabloids at the newspaper stand or the checkout counter. There's some good data in there. You just got to wade through and know what you're looking for.
Now, we have a tinfoil hat answer. Do you want that one?
Oh, you're great at those things. Go ahead.
Yeah. This one's not mine.
All right. Hold on to it. Gordy, we got to take a break. Just a second. Hold on. Let's do this. We'll come back with the tinfoil main course coming up next. There, as Gordon said earlier, there are so many options and variables and wrinkles in this whole scenario, this serious scenario, that it's very difficult to track them all. It does seem to be fluid. It does seem to be of a very interesting dynamic. And it also does seem to present the possibility that the Russians have made it quite clear that the Americans will suffer very bad losses if they follow through with this folly. Now, we'll come right back with Gordon in just a minute. Month with Gordy. It's amazing every time we talk, all the garbage that has flown under the radar since. For most people, Gordy doesn't miss any of it, though. He's on top of it. Okay, go ahead.
Well, the other one actually got from friends is that the entire effort, and this is the reason they gave me, but they said the entire effort is an alien ploy, and that two groups of aliens were bashing it out, attempting to destabilize Earth, throw it into a full-scale nuclear war, and that one group of the aliens called the Tall Whites, and
called Tall Blondes, by the way.
Yeah, oh, this is Tall. The Tall Blondes actually are the other side on this one.
Oh, tall white blondes against tall whites. I assume they're bald headed.
Yeah, you got it. That
okay. Where did this? Where did that? Where? Come on now. Where did this silliness come from? We don't. If E.T. Hold on. If E.T. is on this planet, and I believe it is, and they wanted to start, foment, or otherwise trigger a nuclear thermonuclear exchange, they could have done it whenever they want, and could do it whenever they want. You know the history of Malmstrom. How many times E.T. has flown over Malmstrom in their amazing little machines right above launch complexes, and the up top security people have just literally almost, well, they've had to change their underwear. Very scary stuff. They've taken over countdowns. They've taken over control in Russia. They've started countdowns. The Russians couldn't control anything, and the countdown stopped at something like 5-4 seconds before ignition.
Jeff, one of the things that's different about this time is if you ran this scenario out, the direction it was going to go, okay, the Syrians have the missiles you've described. Now, I don't know if you're aware of the Israeli air defense system, the Iron Yarmulke.
They had the Swiss cheese yarmulke.
Yeah, that 80% of the Iron Yarmulke or Iron Dome air defense system involves using phased array radar from 4 U.S. Navy vessels that have to be sitting offshore. Now, those vessels can't sit offshore, meaning that system is 80% of the system is naval based. Now,
that's interesting because of triangulation, obviously.
Well, frankly, you can't easily fire missiles from on shore. Now, let's go back to 9/11. Now, 1996, we lost a TWA flight off Long Island.
Yep.
That plane almost fell on an Aegis destroyer. Why was the Aegis destroyer there?
Yep.
You know that off New York, off Long Island,
there were major exercises underway.
Is. Yeah. Yankee Station is the position that the U.S. uses naval vessels that provide air defense for New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Air defense for the capital is done from offshore. There are no air defenses on shore for the East Coast. The capital is defended by Aegis destroyers, and they go 200 miles inland. The radar, you only have clear operational radar from at sea. It's the only place and it's the only place you can easily fire a missile. It's also the only place that you can operate with any degree of privacy. Where can you fire a missile from? Anywhere on land, and people are not going to see it go up. There are no air defense systems on land in the U.S. We have no defended targets that aren't on America's coasts, and our only missile defenses are shipborne. It's the only ones that we ever developed, and it's the only ones that Israel actually has. And as we noticed in the earlier exercises against the bottle rockets out of Gaza, that Israel's home-built version of the Iron Yarmulke was it to as low as 2.5% interception or as high as 12? Without them on station, this is the critical point. And if Iran is pushed into exercising its mutual defense pact with Syria and to hit Israel, two things came up. One, Lavrov had visited Iran. We had seen Putin intimate that Iran would likely be put under a Russian air defense umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
Were that done, the Samson option is off the table.
Right.
With the missiles that Syria has, Israel has no air defense system. Iran has enough missiles to turn Tel Aviv into a smoking ruin in minutes, and there would be absolutely nothing Israel could have done to respond.
By the way, the PA-100 under your Kant can hit Tel Aviv easily.
Not the issue. The Iranians have 2,000 missiles they could hit.
Oh,
they
sure.
could launch simultaneously.
Right. Yep.
But if,
of course,
they'd
be nuked into oblivion, so...
If there's no air defense system over Israel of any kind,
mm-hmm.
and Israel has no credible nuclear retaliatory capability because Iran is under a nuclear umbrella from the Russians, and you heard Putin mention this, then Israel is toast.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Israel was exposed as undefendable. That's what came out here.
Interesting. It makes perfect sense.
Assad said
they will respond with everything if they are attacked.
But generally, and you and I both do this, we have a tendency, whenever you look somewhere and somebody's got their greasy little fingers and things, the Israelis will be a significant portion of this. Well, this case, you know, where I'm going to run home to mama saying, you know, the Jews did it, you know, that one.
Yeah.
Well, they're on the list to go down also. Who loves sitting out on this? The Germans sat out on all of this,
mm-hmm.
didn't open their mouths.
Mm-hmm.
The British, of course, we saw a vote there where Cameron was seemingly humiliated, but he did a step aside. The French, who, of course, pushed the U.S. to the edge, did a step aside. The Italians pretended none of this happened.
They're the smartest of all.
And all that left no more NATO. That left no more Samson option.
NATO, because you mean the Rothschilds' private army?
The Rothschilds' private army
mm-hmm.
is in tatters.
Mm-hmm.
Israel's Samson option is now a joke because there is no one they can credibly fire at where the Russians can't simply erase their
Correct.
Capability.
Correct. Yeah.
And once Putin said that, Israel was no longer credible.
You'll notice
there is no threat out of Israel. They have nothing they can do.
No, they have
nothing.
Not been shooting their mouths off. You'll notice that the Zionist-controlled media in this country has said virtually nothing about what Gordon is talking about. Nothing. Not that I've seen.
So what we've removed from this as whose plot this is. Now, was this a plot to make Putin look good? It didn't, but it hasn't ended up. The Russians have gained. They've gained significantly, but not as much as they could have. Not by a long shot.
Okay. How could they have gained more, Gordy?
They could have gained considerably more if the U.S. had been pressed to attack. And Putin had, one of the things Putin was very clear about early on is that he was not going to take Russia into a war, that he was going to stand aside. Obama was stupid enough to look into that as weakness.
He was going to walk into that. Pretty damn dumb, all right. I agree.
And that would have been the last time any American corporation did any business in Africa,
mm-hmm.
in Asia, Middle
mm-hmm.
East, anywhere,
mm-hmm.
we would have been done. The U.S. would have had no credibility anywhere in the world. And
it's tenuous now.
And, you know, it was June 27th this year that Obama said he was abrogating the War Powers Act, that he
mm-hmm.
would never operate unilaterally.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, we have watched him absolutely duplicate sociopath Bush's behavior. Further than that, even Bush went to the trouble of pushing the CIA to at least create falsified intelligence. The CIA made it very clear. This is one of the things that I'll try to make this as quick as possible.
Okay, go ahead.
On the evening of May 2nd, May 3rd, an Israeli Dolphin submarine commandos off northern
Syria.
These commandos carried things that looked like rocks. They were burst transmitters, slave transmitters, carrying, let's say, for making it look as though the Syrians had been issuing orders to troops using WMDs.
Got it.
48 hours later, there were WMD attacks on the night of the 5th and 6th in and around Aleppo, just north of the town.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only reason we didn't have the same thing happen now that happened before is because the Syrians didn't just find the transmitters and pick them up, the ones that were going to create the phony signals like Kerry talks about. But at 2:36 a.m., the Syrians sunk their submarine.
Now, you've said that before on this program, and that has been a very tightly kept secret if it has happened. I don't know. You've got better sources than I.
We have 100% confirmations on it.
All right. Well, so they used to have five. Now they have four dolphins or something.
Well,
like
I say they have three on station in the Med right now, mm-hmm. one on permanent station, and two that are moving around.
Now, we think that the Syrians knocked that sub, one of their own patrol boats.
The Syrians dropped a Russian homing missile off an Mi-19. The Dolphin submarine was 300 feet down with a crew of 84.
Wow.
It was hit, sunk, hit the bottom, and it is still there. And frankly, the mission would have been legitimate had it been a normal commando mission. What it was a mission setting up burst transmitters to create signals intelligence that would have led to the Assad regime being blamed for the earlier chemical attacks, the ones the Russians tried to take in front of the United Nations.
Mm-hmm. Oh. All right. Very good. We are out of time. I'll give you 30 more seconds if you want to wrap it up. We're actually over time, but that's okay. Go ahead.
Now, if you put together the timeline on this, the May 5th, May 6th attacks, the Russian evidence that was submitted, the tests, testimony, and go into my story on the nuclear submarine, which quotes a number of Syrian sources. Now, another story here, very similar. The Syrians suppressed another story. Yesterday, the Syrians captured a Turkish general in Aleppo. They are now holding 40 Turkish officers.
In Aleppo, a general. That's too much. That's wow.
And those stories have been suppressed also.
Very interesting. Okay, my friend, we're running into the news now. Thank you, as always. Very interesting, always, analysis from you. And that would be a good timeline story to do, if you have the time.
You have a couple of things to work on here that have that should have bitten somewhere.
Okay, all right. Time is what I need. Time. Thank you, Gordy, as always.
Thank you, Jeff.
Talk to you soon. Bye bye. Okay, that's hour number two. We're going to break, get into the news real quick, and get right back out of it and do another hour for you coming up next.